Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. It's the night of Tainus Esther. And I wanted to take a little bit of look at Purim. We've already had, I think, right, two shirim already on Purim. So this is the third one. And I wanted first to look at the Gemara and Megillah. And the Zion Amid Bey is, I think, one of the most famous memoriam in all of Shas. And the people that don't know anything else, but this one they all know. Is Omar Rova Machayev Inish Lusume Bepuria. And Rashi translates Lusume is Lishtaker Beyayin. To drink intoxicating beverages. Then the Gemara relates just after this a Maisa. Rabbi Rav Zera Avdu Sudas Purim Bahadi Adodi. Rabbi Rav Zera conducted a joint Sudas Purim one year. And Ibsum, they got tanked up, as Rashi says, in the Shtakru. Come Rabbi Shachted Rav Zera. And Rabbi stood up and he very grievously wounded, killed, I don't know if killed, I wouldn't say necessarily, but he certainly grievously wounded Rav Zera. Lemochar, the next day, so I presume it took till the next day because they were tanked up. Pashtus, he didn't, you know, he was power right away for him. So Lechayre, he wasn't up to davening right away. That's what I would assume was Pshat in the Gemara. But I don't know. Lemochar boy Rachme, I'll call upon him, be that as it may. The Gemara doesn't spell out the reason, but the Gemara says the next day he asked the Rabbanish for Rachme, but Ache, and it restored him to health. Lashona, a year later, Omalei, so Rabbi says to Rav Zera, Nesi Mav and Evet Sudas Purim Badi Adodah. Let's make a Sudas Purim. We had a blast last year. Let's do this again. Omalei, so Rav Zera told him, no thanks. Loi Bechol Shaitu Shaitu Misrachish Nisa. You can't expect Nisim all the time. I had a nest this past year. So you stay home and I'll stay home and Shalom by Yisrael. But, you know, it's not happening. So the Shaila is, what's the purpose of this story of Rabbi and Rav Zera? Now, I don't think we would say the purpose of the story is in and of it, perhaps, is to warn a person to be careful. If you drink a lot, to be careful what you do. I don't think we need a Maisa to tell us that. You know, every bar das in the world knows that. So the Balamor quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim was a Talmud of the Rif, apparently. And I don't know that we know anything directly from him. All the reports that we know about him are things that the Balamor tells us Rabbeinu Ephraim held. So, tells us in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim that the Gemara rescinded its initial psak of Chayav Inish L'Sumi V'Puria. Why? He says, that's why they have the story of Rabbi and Rav Zera in Shas, to tell us that they saw that even such great people as the Amoraim couldn't live up to what this Rabbi demanded of them. So Mamela, they canceled it. They said, that's it, it's rescinded. It's not a suggested approach. That's what Rabbeinu Ephraim says. Along comes the Pri Chodesh, Rav of Yerushalayim about 275 years ago, Sfarada Sharov. And he says, if you look at the sugya on its merits, he says, I believe the ones that disagree with Rabbeinu Ephraim are correct and not the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Why? Because the Gemara says that next year, Rav Zera didn't want to come to Rav. If they rescinded the psak because of this incident, so that's it. What was the problem? He should have been able to come. So he says, if you ask me, we'll come back to this. On the merits of the sugya, I would paskin not like the Rabbeinu Ephraim. But, the Pri Chodesh says, Bizmanenu, we're not roy to live up to Chayav Inish L'Sumi V'Puria in the sense that the other Rishonim take it. So we should follow Rabbi Ephraim's psak, even though I don't think that that's the Ikub Shat in the Gemara. That's what the Prichodesh says. The Prima Godim, who was already an 18th century Ashkenazi Rav, picks up the Prichodesh, and the Paskins like the Prichodesh. The Chofetz Chaim and the Mishneh Berurah says, V'chein Roy Lasses, quotes the Prima Godim, that we should follow this particular approach. So that means the Chofetz Chaim was not a fan of people getting totally smashed. That's number one. Number two, Lanias Daiti, I believe I can save the Rabbeinu Ephraim from the Prichodesh. Basically, the world of Halacha is a slow world. Things don't happen quickly. When we have a position, if we ever change it, it's if there are a lot of thought goes into it. We don't change on a dime. We didn't reach the first position frivolously, and we don't suddenly make about faces. We weigh everything very carefully, and an initial psak, since it came from Adam Godel, stands, and it may stand for a long time until a consensus emerges that we have to go in a different direction. So I would suggest that by the time the next year came around, they hadn't rescinded the psak yet. But Ravina Ephraim's question is something else. Why did Rav Ashi put this mice into Shas? For what reason? To tell us something happened between Rabbah and Rav Zera? What's the point? Leave it out. We don't have to know, all the sort of details. Elamai, he says, Rav Ashi put it into Shas to tell me, Lozu Aderach, I'm not Maskim. So, this is a strengthening of the Rabbeinu Ephraim's view. The Rambam himself.
Does anybody explain how this accident could have happened? Rav Zera and Rava were Gedolim, and the Derech Mitzvah, they did such a bad thing.
The Chassam Sofer, I believe it's the Chassam Sofer, adds a little to how it happened. If I recall it, the Chassam Sofer, and he says that Rabbah was born under the Mazel of Madim, of Mars. And consequently, he had a great entia towards Shvichas Damim, as the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if a person's born with that Mazel, so he's likely one of three things will happen with him. If he's a prostitute person, he'll become a killer. He hasn't detonatia within himself. If he refines himself, he'll become a sheikhet. And if he becomes super refined, he'll become a moil. So he says he was born under that mazel. So there was something within him that was a little bit closer, to such an event taking place, I believe. It still doesn't really answer the question fully, but I believe you look in the Chassam Sofer. I believe the Chassam Sofer pushes in that direction.
Why can't you learn from the story that there have to be limits on the drinking? The first mimer said you drink to whatever that level is, and then we see that,
they agree. No, they did not say that you shouldn't drink on Purim. All of them said you should drink. Yeah, the Rambam said there are more rights. A person should drink more than he normally drinks on a regular day.
But I thought you said they rescinded
that you have to the extent that they had it the first. It doesn't mean that they negated it fully. There are more rights, and that's what the V'chein Roy Lassus is going on the Prima Godim, that a person should drink more than he drinks during the year. That's what he should do on Purim. And thereby, whatever that, with some sleep, to be Mekayim Adalo Yoda, but it's furthermore, to take it to an extreme, we have a statement of the Chayodim. The Chayodim, the Chofetz Chaim quotes them, I think, in the Bir Halacha, but says that a person can be careful not to violate any halacha because of being mekayim ad lo yoda. You know, it means he has to daven all the tefillas and bench and everything he's supposed to do on this day. And beyond that, yeah, he's ad lo yoda, but not forgetting all the other chiyuvim that he has. No, I was present, and I recall this vividly. I saw guys, there's a reason makdim in the mitzvahs. So nobody claims that there's a mitzvah of chayvin as l'simi b'puri at night. There's a shtikel shayla in the Rambam, it's mashma, has to do with Sudas Purim, and others do not necessarily tie it into Sudas Purim. It's an independent mitzvah. Okay. But nobody I have seen yet has claimed that the mitzvah comes at the night time. So some people decided there's reason to redeem the mitzvahs. Why wait? Especially, I have a yeshiva shechakira. What's the mitzvah of chayvinish l'suvah v'puriyah? Is it to drink? And the drunk is the shir? Or no, the being drunk is the mitzvah. The drinking is only the hechatimtza. So if you learn the drinking is the hechatimtza, so who cares what you did the hechatimtza? As long as you drunk on Purim, you became the mitzvah, right? So that's my yeshiva shashayla. What's chayvinish l'sumi v'puriya? So I saw guys, they were, as I said, they did zrizu magdim in the mitzvahs, and a very, very strong guy, one of the most powerful guys I ever met in my life, physically powerful, went around and took the whole chevra, and hauled every one of them off into bed and tucked them in until they went to sleep. And then he got into bed and went to sleep himself. For the same reasons. I'll call upon them, these guys, the next thing they knew, it was after Purim already. The day of Purim didn't exist for them. There was no Shachris, there no Tefillin, Kriyashma, Tefillah, Megillah, Sudas Purim, none of it. Mincha, wiped it all. They slept straight through. So that's what the Chayada means, that you can't do such things. Then we need to ask ourselves something else. What was the intention of Chazal with this mitzvah? Now, we're not, in the world they have carnivals. Not the carnivals our kids have in school, like Mardi Gras. Now, the basic idea of the carnivals in most societies is that the restrictions of society are too burdensome for people to live with all the time. So you have a few days a year where it's hutra ratzua. They can do whatever they want as long as they don't hurt someone else. Or there are no barriers. Do whatever you feel like doing, and it's fine. Then 3-5 days later, then we go back. Okay, we start again. But, civilized society can take, as long as you don't hurt someone else, civilized society can go on vacation for 3 to 5 days, and we're fine. And we're even better for it, in fact, because people let out all their pent-up energies, and then they can live with the restrictions for another year. But that's the antithesis of what Yahadus is. And Yahadus, we don't believe that. So what B'chala they want with Chayav Inish L'Sumi Vaporia? So I asked this to one of my Rebbeim, Rav Avram Kanarek Shlita, the Rosh Hashanah of Chofetz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael many years ago. And he told me the following, that what he saw in Svarim is that Purim is a time of Avas Yisrael, is to raise the level of our social cohesiveness in the community. There's a lot of divisiveness takes place because of pettiness. Petty, silly things that have happened that we just can't get over. But if we would see anyone else doing them, we'd laugh at them. We think, what is this guy? He flipped his mind? This bothers him? This is, if he 20 years is carrying on with this? We think the guy blew his mind out. But we'll do the same things. He says, when people drink a little, and get a little bit buzzed, a little bit, so they let their hair down a little bit. They're more chilled. And when a person's more chilled, he can take a step back and say, forget this shtuyot that I've been living with, and he could push it away. So he told this to me. A number of years after that, I was at a Sudas Purim with many people. And there were two guys that were at the Suda's Purim that were known by many of the participants there, the Suda, that they did not get along with each other. In the middle of the Suda's Purim, they got up and they started to dance, these two guys. And anyone, basically, which was most of the people that were there, knew their relationship, was ready to fall off their chairs. Like they couldn't believe what their eyes were seeing. And I know them at Ayoyim, and their relationship since then has been fun. Why? Because the strain was based on shtiyot. You know, whatever, petty little things that had happened, and just people couldn't, you know. In the conviviality of Purim, they were able to push it aside. So, that's what Chayavin Shlusim B'Purim is about, he told me. If that's the case, we understand that there's no tachlis and a person getting bombed out of his mind. You know, we talk about even when Rashi says they were mishtaker, we can ask ourselves which of the two it is, and I have my own feelings. You know, shikrus and halach has two definitions. The shikrus of shalot. Lot was totally wasted. He had no idea what was going on with him. Shas tells us the halach is that if a person is that wasted, let's say he recites birchas hamazon, and then he sobers up enough to know what's going on around him, he has to say birchas hamazon again. It's not yotzi any mitzvah in that state. It's like a shaita. And then there's someone that's buzzed. And Shas's description of that is ena yochel ledaber lifnei hamelech. Means if he has to deal with something delicate and sensitive, this is not the time. He doesn't have his full wits about him. You know, yitochen ma'oi that Chazal didn't mean anything more than the second. The first would seem very, very hard, the daiti, to see what the justification would be for it. You know, I can't tell you that there's no gedolei olam that never learned that pshat, but from the, where I sit in the world and what I ani akotn understand, I would think that it's probably closer to the second one. Get a little buzzed. So this is the mitzvah of chayav inish l'psumei b'puria, but to be marba b'reis. And we have most of the mitzvahs hayom, but to be marba b'reis. The Vishnoach Monos is to be marba b'reis. And there's, in fact, it's interesting because there is a machlekes, what the Sholach Monos, what's the thrust of the Sholach Monos? Is it merely for social cohesiveness? That friendship, you know. I was in a spat with someone. It wasn't a personal feud. What happened was there was a situation that was taking place, a private situation, and we wound up on opposite sides of it. It wasn't between us. There was a difficult situation between two people, and we wound up on opposite sides. And each one sincerely intended. But nevertheless, you know, this was a nasty parsha that went on for quite a while. So it produces strain in the relationship. So there's a person that I was friendly with. So a son of his came to the house on Purim. So I said, hey, listen, here's a bottle of wine. Go give it to your father and tell him I sent it to him. That was the end of the problems. We got back on track with each other again after that. Because it was never a personal, the dispute was never personal, it never became personal. But nevertheless, when you're too long entrenched in a problem, it produces strain. So Purim is to be marba b'reis. That's one view of Mishloach. A second view of Mishloach Monos is that it to provide the poor people with the means of Sudas Purim. That, in other words, I guess, so from that standpoint, there's two ways you could do it. You could send them money, and you could send them food. So Rav Chaim Sofer apparently writes that they made it for everybody, in effect, to cover up for the Andiyim. Like the Gemara says in Saita, that there are two korbanos which are brought b'tzofen on the northern side of the Azor, the Chatas and the Oila. So the Chatas really has whatever its own special place it should have. But if only the chattas were there, then people, everyone that brought a korban and bitzofen, they would say, oh, you're from the sinners. So what did the halacha do? The halacha placed the oila there as well. So now, when you see a guy over there, maybe he's bringing an oiler. Who says, why should you think he's bringing a chatas? So the Torah wished to conceal the chaitim. So here the Torah had wished to conceal who the aniyim are, that need their desperate help. So they said everybody should get sholach manos. The aniyim also get sholach manos. So the mishloach manos is an inyan of reyes, and it's at all levels, it's an inyan avas yisrael. To be koilul the aniyim, the matonos levyoinim is clearly intended that the simcha should be universal on Purim. You know, who do I invite to my Sudas Purim? Person, any person. Your close buddies, that's who you invite. Who else do you invite? For whom do you send Shloach Manos? It's a wider circle of friends, not necessarily your closest, but people that you're friendly with. The Oni Ve'evyon may not be in your social circle altogether, and you may not even send him Shloach Manos. Because he's not on your radar. You know, you don't mix in the same circles. But so, Chazal created Matonas Levyanim. The simcha is not a simcha shleima unless it includes all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's a guy, you know, a mile down, and he's not going to have what to eat on Purim, then there's a chesaron in the simcha's Purim for everyone. It's not why the Rebbeinu Shalom is not happy with that. So Chazal instituted Matonas Levyanim, that they get money to be able to have money to be able to conduct themselves on Purim like everybody else. So this was the notion of Matonas Levyanim. So this was a very, very big aspect of Purim. A very big aspect of Purim was the Ben Adam L'Chavera. So we talked Shabbos recently about the idea of the tefillahs, that Purim is a zman of tefillah, it's a zman of midas harachamim. We shouldn't lose the opportunity to be mispalo properly on that day. But it's also a day that's in the Ben Adam L'Chavera realm of Avas Achim, that we should strengthen the ties between all the varied Jews that exist. We shouldn't just stay in one place. In the Chassidus Machshava, this has become famous, but it really stems from the Chassidus Machshava, that Haman gave a description of the Jews as Mefuzer and Mefuzer bin Ha'amim. And they say it's at two levels, what Haman's accusation. One is practically the Mefuzer and Mefuzer bin Ha'amim, so it's not going to be overly disruptive to get rid of them. You know, there are a few here, a few there, a few in the next place. Okay, so the population will go down by a few in every place. But everything, business will go on as usual. Whereas if you had a huge area, which was just the Jews, and you're going to wipe them all out, so then you're going to have a, what's going to be? There'll be blight in the Malucha. Who's going to take up, you know, what's going on there? Who's going to run anything that's running on in that part of the society? Those are the Mefuzer and Mefuzer bin Ha'amim. You don't have to worry about creating blight or a blighted area in the Malucha, because the Jews are here and there and everywhere, and that's it. You can eliminate them and society will go on. That's at one level. There's another level of it. Our Mefuzer and Mefuzer bin Ha'amim is that they're Mefuzer and Mefuzer also amongst themselves. They're physically divided. They are divided entity. They're not clinging to each other. And therefore, they are more subject to our whims. And more subject that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will allow us to get away with this. So, the Chassidim say what was the response of Esther to this? Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim, to bring all the Jews together. Unfortunately, in our history, there's nothing like an Eis Tzara to bring us together. In times of peace, we decide, okay, if we're not busy fighting the Arabs, we might as well be busy fighting our neighbors. You know, with Chemes HaYehudim. But when we're threatened from outside, then we tend to pull together. And then the differences don't make a difference anymore. Or from less from Chassidish, Masnagdish, Svaradish, we bury it all. And then now we're together in one boat. So this is an essential part of Purim, is the Lech Knois, it's called a Yehudim, is to be Marbet Avos Yisrael. Because that's really the Schus, they say, by which we overcame Haman, was by drawing together, by increasing the Avos Yisrael between us. So these are the mitzvahs Hayoim. Purim, it's a very hard thing in Purim to be able to learn a little bit. Very hard. If I get a chance, it's like early in the morning before anyone comes to the house. Sometimes I grab a few minutes. Otherwise, my learning is the Divrei Torah that I tell to people the whole day, the Shilas after Paschal. But to sit and learn just doesn't happen in Purim. Now, Purim is a time of Kabbalah Satir. It's explicit in the Gemara. Gemara says, "Layhudim ha'isa oyra v'simcha v'sasim bikar oyra z'tayra." So the time of Purim was a time of Torah. And as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that at Har Sinai there was some element of compulsion. Okay, that's a whole Shavuos in its own right. We've talked about it many times in Shavuos, what it was, but there was some element of compulsion in the Kabbalah Sater. Even though in reality it's not, the Ritva says it's not an excuse, but there was an element of compulsion nevertheless. So when did we mekabel the Torah fully barotz, and it's hod the kibluah b'me'ach HaShverosh. We mekabel the Torah b'me'ach HaShverosh. And the problem of Haman has to do, it's interesting, because Vayavo Amalek Vayilochem Em Yisroel B'Refidim. So what does Chazal tell us? What's Refidim? Refidim is a place, but also Rofu Yideyim in HaTorah. We did not cling to the Torah as much as we should. And when we don't cling to the Torah as much as we should, then that gives rise to Amalek. It's Vayavo Amalek. And according to Chazal, this was true also in the lead up to Purim. We didn't observe the Torah as fully and as properly as we should. Yeah, right, we started to have intermarriage for the first time in the Jewish people. So we started to stray from the Rabbeinu Shalom in Golas Bavel. So this was the opening for Haman, for Amalek to come. And what was the tshuva? The tshuva was being mekabel upon ourselves to observe the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah properly. That's the Kabbalah Satara. And that really is the meaning. There's a very strange medrash. A very strange medrash. The medrash says that what happened when Esav discovers that the brachos were stolen from him. When Mordechai Yodos called Asher Nasa, Yikra Mordechai is begotli versak vayif vayetzi besochir vayizak zaoko gedoyla umara. So Chazal and the Medrash Rabba and Bereishis Rabba correlate these two zaokos, zaokos, and they say because of the zaoko of Esav, that's why we came to the zaoko of Mordechai in Shushan. That is a very, very difficult Chazal to understand. When a person is mitzvah, let's say I'm mitzvah in Mechemes Mitzvah, so I have to go out and I take a weapon and I kill somebody. so good. I made tzar for him, I made tzar for his family. I'm only going to get tzar for that. I'm not getting any einish for what I did to him. Rivka was machriya, and she told, according to the Targum, she had a nevuah, in fact, that she was supposed to do what she did. To take, not to let Esav get the brochus. So, good. So Esav was upset that he didn't get the brochus. So why should Klal Yisrael suffer? Because Esav was upset. They did kedin, what they're supposed to do to him. So what's pshat in this medrash? So I thought pshat is like this. In Parshas told us, it says, Voyok asher toiriru for akto ulo me'al tzavarecho. Yitzchak tells Esav, this one time you're going to break loose from Yaakov Avinu, and you will lord it over him. And that is Voyok asher toirid. If he falls in his observance of the Torah, then for akto ulo me'al tzavarecho, then you'll be free. And meaning that you'll be able to subjugate him. So what was the right that we had to cause this anguish to Esav? The Tzoch G'doy L'mora, because on Menas that will observe the Torah properly. That if Esav will have the brachos, we will not be able to observe the Torah properly. So the whole heter to cause this anguish to him was on Menas to keep the Torah. Whatever time in Jewish history you don't observe the Torah properly, so the Rebbe Shalom says, you have a bill to pay. What's your excuse? What's the schus that you have to have done what you did to Esav? So therefore, at a time in Shushan when we didn't observe the Torah properly, it came Zo'oko G'doy L'Omoro. Zekeregezeh. So, the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim is not only a general Kabbalah Satorah, which has to hark back to Har Sinai. It goes further back. It goes all the way back to taking the brachos from Esav. That's also part. That is also part of Purim. So Purim is like who knows? Ayra v'simcha, ayra zutera. So Purim is a day of Torah. So it's not, as I said, it's not so easy to learn the Torah on that day. You should try, but at least the day of the Kabbalah Satorah. To strengthen our Kabbalah Satorah, our commitment to learn the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Torah. Of Lishma Velasas, Lomod Lulame Lishma Velasas, to strengthen that. That is an integral part of what Purim is. We talked about, until now, the social factors. Now, social factors are very profound. And Purim is to teach us a lesson how significant the social factors are. Not, first of all, many of the mitzvahs of the day, of the yom, have to do with social factors. But there's something in the Megillah which is a very strange story. Perek Aleph has a lot of interesting things in it. Vayi oymer es hadasa, hi ester bas toidoi. V'mos aviyo v'ayimo, v'kocho Mordechai lo ilovas. Right? Mordechai was her first cousin. And but he oimin as Hadassah. He raised Hadassah upon the death of her parents. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, I want to ask you something. I believe that's just about the only chesed that's mentioned in the entire Megillah that Mordechai did. Just about. I don't know, maybe you can pull out a couple more here and there, but not too many. Do we think that he did many chesedim in his life? Probably did many chesedim. So why does this one in the Megillah, by Yomir Hadassah, Yester Basta Idoy? What's that relevant to me? It was an old lady in Shushan, didn't know what to eat. He gave her a dollar. So she had breakfast that day. So we'll put that in the Megillah too. You know, someone that was depressed, he told him a few jokes, he cheered him up. So put that into the Megillah. So the Shaila is, why is this in the Megillah, this story with Yomir Hadassah? There's a very interesting sefer. It's a sefer of the Ralbag on the Megillahs. And in there, at the back, first it goes by the psukim, and then afterwards in his stall, then he tells you all the lessons that you're supposed to learn from this parasha. So he says the following, that what was the lesson of this Vayi Omer es Hadasa? Mordechai comes, and he tells Esther to go put your life on the line. Right? Enter the chamber of Ahasuerus, uninvited, and if the king takes umbrage, so he'll kill you. But going anyhow. So why did Esther listen to him? He says, because in her hour of need, when she was orphaned and alone, Mordechai took her in and cared for her. That's what he writes. Now let's stop and consider that for a moment. If the Gadol HaDor would come to me, any of us, and tell us, listen, there's something, a very difficult task that's necessary for Klal Yisrael. But you, I've sized up the scene, you're the one that's capable of doing it, and I ask you to undertake it. All of us imagine we would run to do it. The Gadol HaDor came and asked us personally that this is for the benefit of all of Klal Yisrael, it's something you have to do, you would do. So Mordechai was certainly from the top handful of the Gadol HaDor. And he came and he told them, listen, this is what you have to do. Furthermore, something else. The Gemara says in Megillah that recorded Nevi'im, there are 48 Nevi'im and Zion Nevi'is that are recorded. And one of those Zion Nevi'is is Esther. Now, we don't find that her Nevu'ah, this Nevu'ah, it comes in two different ways. There's a Navi that achieves Nevu'ah because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants to send him as a shliach to Klal Yisrael, or to the world. And that's what we find in Yirmiyahu, Novi L'Goyim Nesaticha. You're a Novi to proclaim the Dvar Hashem to the world. So Ramayla, even if you don't feel Roy, the Rishon says, I'll make you Roy. I'll lift you up to the level of Nevuah. That's one time. There's a Novi that achieves Nevuah because of his own spiritual greatness. And he's so spiritual, he's so great, that he reaches that point, that he's Zeichat Nevuah. But not because he was necessarily a Shliach to Klal Yisrael. Sometimes the Shliach and Klal Yisrael, in fact, he did not reach that point on his own. But the Rosh Hashanah pulls him up to that Madrega. Now, the Chayra, Esther, was not, we don't know any Nevuah that she brought to Klal Yisrael. Right? There's nothing recorded from Esther that she brought. The Chayra. So we would think that L'chaira, she reached Nevuah on her own level, on her own Madrega. That's where she was Zeichat Nevuah. Because she herself was that great that she was Zeichat Nevuah. She was a spiritually a very great person. So here she's one of the seven Nevi'is in Tanakh. And you would think that that's enough. Just she being one of the Zion Nevi'is and the person that's asking her is one of the Gdolei Ador. Is there anything more needed in that dynamic that she should listen to his advice? And yet the Rabbah tells us that did not suffice. Well, on what did suffice is that Esther understood how much Mordechai cared for her and how much he put himself out for her. And Mamela, if this person is asking me to put my life in danger, and this is a person that cares very deeply for me. This is not a person that's, you know, just pushing the bureaucratic pieces, because this is what they have to do bureaucratically. This is a person that has the deepest love and concern for me. And nevertheless, he's telling me to go put my life on the line. Okay, now I'm ready to do it. So the social aspect, the connection, the social connections that we have, we don't realize how important they are. Even between very, very great people, the dynamic may not work unless there's also a social connection between them, an appreciation of each other. So when we talk about the social cohesiveness on Purim, it's not only it's nice that there's Avos Yisrael, but in that dynamic lies so much that can be accomplished, so much that can be done. So much that people will respect each other and respond to each other's needs and the needs of the tzibur, which will not happen without it. So we're talking about being Marbareyes. Marbareyes is not only okay, so myself and the guy down the block, you know, next month will I have a kiddush and they'll invite me because we're good buddies now, you know. But 20 things in the communal agenda may get done because he sees eye to eye with me. And if I ask him, whatever, the mikveh needs a help, the yeshiva needs a help. So now he's my buddy. Yeah, okay, so I'll help you. And otherwise, I'll tell you, oops, I'm busy, I'm sorry. So the social aspect is an extremely important aspect. In the, not only in the interpersonal, one-to-one, but in the larger cosmic scheme of the tzibur, that's also a very, very important piece. Very important piece. The Megillah is an idea of Pursuma Nisa. Pursuma Nisa, according to the Ramban, Nachasam Sofer says that he concurs, he thinks so too, himself. Pursuma Nisa is a deraisa dikadin, according to them. To be mefarsim, to appreciate the Nisim that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has done for us. And if we appreciate the Nisim of Purim and the survival of Klal Yisrael under the circumstances that existed, so the Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, from that will come to appreciate all the Nisim Nistorim, the little tiny Nisim, the hidden Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, a million of them a day, that we just take for granted. You know, we take for granted they wake up in the morning and the sun is there. Does it have to be there? No, it doesn't have to be there. Now, if it wasn't there, we'd be in deep trouble. It'd be the end of our world. But it doesn't have to be there. It's there because the Rabbeinu Shalom says it should be there. So, Pursuma Nisa, to appreciate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Nisan, is at the very heart of what Purim is about. We read the Megillah for that reason. The Megillah is the altar, it's not the only Pursuma Nisa. Megillah is Pursuma Nisa, but everything of the whole day is Pursuma Nisa. The fact that we make this big tumult, you know, you can have a day, Hanukkah, in effect, what's the Pursuma Nisa of Hanukkah is the Neiros. That's it. There's no other mitzvahs on that day. All the Purim is chock full of mitzvahs. A whole day there are mitzvahs to do. And those mitzvahs, the fact that there are specific mitzvahs of Purim is also Pursuma Nisa. The Pursuma Nisa is manifest in many, many different ways. Not only in the most direct way is the Megillah, because there we tell the story of the Megillah. But the fact, as the Radak writes, when the Radak talks about Oynik Shabbos, the Radak in Yeshaya, Kapitel Nun Gimel, so there the Radak writes, what is Oynik Shabbos? Oynik Shabbos, those types of indulgence on Shabbos that's included in Oynik Shabbos, is to underscore that Shabbos is a different day than everything else. I indulge on Shabbos because it's different than every other day. And that's why I act in a different fashion on Shabbos than I do the entire week. So that's the Oynik Shabbos. That's what Oynik Shabbos underscores. The mitzvahs Hayoyim of Purim also underscore that. That there's a ness. But at Megillah we spell it out. Here we don't spell it out by the other mitzvahs. But the other mitzvahs equally underscore the Pursuma Nisa of the day. So that's, and from the standpoint of Chazal, is really the biggest avodah of Purim, is the Pursuma Nisa. To stop to consider the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And I told my Talmidim today, we have a very unique perch from which to appreciate what the Nes of Purim was. And why is that? Haman plan was lahashmir v'larog v'laz la'abir is called a yudim minarva zokin tav v'noshim b'yom echod shlolom l'voyis. The utter destruction of Klal Yisrael. Now just stop for a moment and ask ourselves, knowing what we know today, or what the Germans Yimach Shemam intended, what would be the simcha if someone came in 1935, the army, the German army, and overthrew Hitler, killed all the Nazis, and restored the democracy to Germany, and the Second World War didn't take place? But understanding full well what their intentions were, what would the simcha be? They would rival Purim, at least, if not more than that. And that's what took place. The Amaleki of his time, who went with that sheet of Lahashmi Vilaro Galabir is called Yehuda. But he didn't succeed. Came close to succeeding, but he didn't succeed. Right. So we appreciate what that means. Because we see, we know what the result is when the Haman of our era was not stopped. So that puts the whole story of Purim in a very different light. Because we have the contrast between the two. So that's a different level of appreciation of the Rebbeinu Shalom's ness. With the Rebbeinu Shalom grant that you bring forth the Nisim of Purim again for us to be the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael and bring forth Gula Gulasenu, just as the Eden of Shushan ultimately in short order they came to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with Ezra. It was not so many years after the story of Purim that this takes place. And may the Rebbeinu Shalom grant in our time too that in the wake of the celebration of Purim, we also get busy with building the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yisrael Freilich and Purim.